The Lord be with you. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of Holy Communion. And today in our service, we're thinking about the presence of God in both triumph and adversity. That's the theme of our service this morning. We want to welcome also those who are joining us online. You're very welcome to our service today. Today is going to be our last day in church for a little while, with work commencing next week, which means that next week our services will be in the church hall. The service at 9 and 11 will be in the Houston Hall, and in the evening at 7, the service will be in the upper hall. Also, just wanted to mention, during the summer months, as many people will be aware, we've been partnering with our friends across the road, 162 Upper Knockbreda Road, the Church's Ministry of Healing. They host a craft morning on Monday mornings between 10 and 12. For those who enjoy crafting, you're very welcome to join on Monday tomorrow. And also on Tuesday morning, they have their bi-monthly celebration of Holy Communion at 10 o'clock. With prayers for those who are sick, and we're invited to join them this Tuesday at 10. On Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, the funeral service of Mr. Clark Dawson takes place in the Church of the Pentecost in Mount Marion. That's at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. Also on Wednesday afternoon, the Ladies' Afternoon Friendship Group are meeting for an informal catch-up at Hillmount Nursery. That's at 2 o'clock, and everyone is welcome to that gathering at 2 on Wednesday afternoon. On Wednesday evening, we hope to have a special work party here in church. There's a lot of preparatory work for the work. We're moving various cushions and books from the church, and we're moving things around in the church hall to prepare for the next number of months. The more hands, the less the work. So anybody who's free, we'd really value your assistance on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. On Thursday evening, our parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom at 7 next Thursday. Also, the builders are requesting, if anybody has keys to either the church or the hall, we're going to need two of each. So if there are any key holders at the moment who have keys of either the church or the hall, that would save us getting more cut. And if you could pass them on, we will be able to enable the builders to use them for the duration of the work. And you'll get them back as soon as that work is completed. We're going to join together to sing our opening hymn, the hymn number 92 in the Red Church hymnal, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds.
Thank you. You're all very welcome to this service of Holy Communion. If you are following in the Book of Common Prayer, our service begins on page 201, and when we move to the communion table, we will be using prayer 3 on page 217. We pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand as we say the Gloria together. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Our collect prayer for today, the 10th Sunday after Trinity. Let your merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of your humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they had climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
As we have heard those words, and as we think this morning of times of victory or times of adversity, we can always be rooted in the faithfulness of Christ, and we respond by declaring our belief in Christ with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe
in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our worship continues this morning as we sing together hymn number 224, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the joys of having a colleague in the workplace, and there are many, is that you have someone with you to process some of the experiences that you go through. And you might think of those events that went well and be able to celebrate them, and you might lament the ones that didn't go quite so well and see how you might learn from them. And it's maybe quite informative for us
or a good learning experience to observe the way that Jesus dealt with both the triumphs and the adversities. And we see something of this in today's wonderful gospel reading. And we start off on the back of an incredible triumph, a life-changing moment when Jesus calls upon his heavenly Father, and we were thinking about this last Sunday, and he blesses a small amount of food given to him, and then he uses this humble offering to feed 5,000 men, as well as the accompanying women and children, however many that might have been, and we're not told in Matthew's account. So this was some miracle. This was proof to the doubters, pointing to his power and to his identity as the Son of God. And after such an incredible moment, you might expect Jesus to dance around with joy, to be glorying in this magnificent moment with his close friends, the disciples. You might perhaps even expect him to gloat somewhat in his success when so many people had doubted him and his ability to do anything transformative. But Jesus chooses a very different course of action. He sends his disciples on ahead of him to the other side of the lake while he dismisses the crowds. He goes up the side of a mountain to pray and to be replenished spiritually in the presence of his heavenly Father. I wonder how you are with silence and solitude this morning. Silence and solitude have been key Christian disciplines over the centuries, where followers of Jesus try to take quiet time every day to open themselves to the Word of God and to intentionally listen to what he might want to say to them in the quietness. And some of us find that part about being alone and quiet before God quite daunting. We maybe worry within our heads about what we're going to say, or maybe we constantly feel the pull of other people, or the demands of our work or whatever are inclined to distract us away anytime we want to spend that quiet time with God. But Jesus, in this moment of great triumph, he wanted to process this moment of great significance with his heavenly Father. And although he wanted to be alone in God's presence, maybe to say thank you for enabling him to do what he had just done, maybe even to come to terms with what he was about to reveal again to all the people, that he was the Son of God, we see that Jesus didn't remove himself completely. He could see the storm and he could see the new situation about to unfold for the disciples. And on the face of it, this is a situation that looks like a complete disaster. These storms were notorious on the Sea of Galilee. They could blow up very suddenly and destructively, and they could make crossings very perilous. But Jesus responds to adversity and disaster not by taking those things away, but by going to be with his disciples in them. And he chooses a supernatural way to do it, by walking on the water out to them. He knows that they will be frightened. He knows that they're fearing for their lives. And just as Jesus brought himself into his heavenly Father's presence in his moment of triumph, he also brings himself into the heart of the experience of his disciples' adversity. And what they need to do is to trust that he is enough. And of course, it's not easy to put our faith in that in the heat of the moment, as Peter demonstrates in our gospel reading this morning. Peter questions in this moment of crisis if it is really Jesus and not just a figment of his imagination. And so Jesus invites him to get out of the boat and to come to him on the water. And Peter starts off just fine, but then he takes his eyes off Jesus. And what happens very often when we take our eyes off Jesus is that we feel overwhelmed by our circumstances. And for Peter, it was the biting wind and the cold spray of the waves as he put his feet on the water and he felt himself going under. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And in spite of all Peter's doubts and his misgivings, we're told that immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And it is a very difficult experience for any of us to be backed into that corner, isn't it? Where we realize that there is absolutely nothing that we can do to save ourselves. No matter how massive our intellect might be, or how enormous our bank balance might be, there are those moments that come when all we can do in our lives is cry out to God. And at its heart, the cry is a very simple one. Lord, will you walk with me through this? Because I can't manage it on my own. I don't know what to do. I'm completely out of my depth. Can you please, please rescue me? Or else I'm done for. And eventually, in Peter's experience, while he was in the presence of Jesus, that storm subsided and everything was eventually calmed. And all the people on the boat worshipped Jesus, recognizing him in that moment as truly being the Son of God. And the key factor, as I see it, in both of these moments of triumph and adversity is the presence of Jesus. And we feel that presence sometimes when he reveals things to us in the scriptures and he gives us little insights that help us to understand who he is and what he's like. We sometimes see or feel the presence of Jesus also in the lives of others and how they make him known through their acts of service and sacrifice. And in our household, we've been on the receiving end of many such acts in this place. But we also feel the presence of God in a tangible and powerful way, in this beautiful sacrament of Holy Communion that we're going to partake in a few moments, where Jesus fills us with his presence and he nourishes us with this spiritual food at his table. So let's not be shy in seeking and longing for his presence in our lives. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who come to you in faith. We pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese and for David, our bishop. And as we think of your presence in triumph and adversity, we pray this morning that you would be with us as a church in a season of disruption during the building work. We pray for the patience to bear with each other in the midst of inconvenience. We pray for safety for all people who will be working on the site, who will be attending services and organizations in the hall. We pray for that longing for your presence to dwell within each one of us going forward. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And as we think of Jesus' presence in a storm this morning, we pray for the people of Hawaii in the aftermath of the wildfires. We pray for all those who've been directly affected, the bereaved and injured, all who have lost homes and businesses. We pray too for the response effort, and we ask that you would help all who are working so hard on the ground at this moment in time. And we pray that your presence would bring comfort and strength in this desperate situation. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all those known to us journeying through difficult storms in their lives just now. We think of those who are struggling with their physical or mental health and their families. We pray for all those who are anxiously awaiting exam results. We pray for those who are having struggles in their relationships at home or at work with all the stress and strain that that brings. We also pray this morning for the bereaved as we remember especially the Dawson family preparing for Clark's funeral service this coming Wednesday afternoon. We pray that you would bring your comfort and support to their family circle. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We continue in prayer as people who are in need of a Savior, but also as people who have been given and offered everything we need from the Savior. We pray together, we do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Our next hymn, which we will keep standing and sing together, is hymn number 549, Dear Lord and Father of All Mankind. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of your Savior, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the whole world, we offer you the sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen. 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 The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share. Thank you for joining us during this service of Holy Communion this morning. Just to remind you that this will be our last morning service in the church building, but services will continue in the halls where we will worship together from next week. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 680, "Will Your Anchor Hold?"